And now it's time for the Cannabis Report on KGNU Community Radio. I'm Hanalee Myers, and I'm joined by Leland Rucker, who is going to be bringing us up to speed on something that has been long talked about in Colorado, but yet to come to fruition, and that would be lounges, cannabis lounges. So Leland, let's start there. What is going on with the cannabis lounge situation? Give us an update here.
Well, what does Amendment 64 say? It says treat marijuana like alcohol, but we're 10 years in and there's still few places where you can go and smoke cannabis like people do with alcohol. Trying to get lounges where people can smoke, much like bars allow people to drink, has been really hard. Marijuana hospitality establishments are defined, now we should define it at the beginning, they're defined as facilities licensed for on-site consumption of marijuana. And right now, there's just not much of that going on. There are some things happening in the city of Denver, but in order to have a lounge for smoking marijuana, you have to pass HVAC requirements. And those are tough. They were created for cigarette smoking, secondhand smoke. And apparently, nobody wants to have a lounge where you can do anything but smoke cannabis. There's a lot of other ways to use it, but nobody's come up with a lounge for the other ways to use it. So there's so many ways to adjust these days. But, for instance, Chris Chiardi, he owns the Patterson Inn at 420 East 11th Avenue. 420 East 11th Avenue. He said when he saw the address, he had to have the place. And it's an old, real old hotel. And he wants to make it, his pub, marijuana-friendly. And he's the first owner of a hotel in Denver to apply for marijuana license. And he told Westward this spring, the city of Denver is enforcing strict rules around indoor air quality in a smoke-filled room. In the past several months, major agreements have been reached, recognizing the similarity between the lounge I proposed and cigar lounges, which we haven't talked about, allowing us to lean on proven system designs that have been built to meet international standards. Once we have the final design approved, we are in a position to start construction immediately. With all the ducting and pipes to move the air, I think it'll be hard to avoid the steampunk vibe. So there's one person involved, Michael Eimer, a person I know, he owns buses. He's hoping for a lounge one of these days too. And he's the one who's made buses sort of a natural thing. I remember going on one of his buses about 10 years ago, and he's planning a big open space. But most people, he says, aren't willing to pay what it costs to make them good with the city. It's about the same to start a dispensary as it is to put in a lounge. So it's just very hard. And on the other hand, 8 businesses have received warnings for hosting marijuana-related activities in Denver without the required license, with a separate ticket issued to Tetra Lounge. And the city on Saturday investigated multiple locations after receiving complaints of illegal events taking place. I didn't get to talk to the people at the Denver Department of Excise and Licenses, but officials there, they issued a general violation ticket to the operator of Tetra Lounge at 3039 Walnut Street in Denver. And there was a bunch of other businesses that got warnings, and they've been asked to get a license. So there's a lot going on, but it's still very hard. I noticed that the city of Boulder has again punted on allowing marijuana establishments. The city's marijuana board said it's time for establishments. I mean, it has been 10 years. This is not an emergency, said council member Bob Yates, as if an emergency was needed to open cannabis lounges. I'm not sure about that. I checked the amendment. It doesn't say anything about emergencies. And it was ultimately determined that the current council was just too late and too busy.
Gosh, it is just so interesting that this lounge element, just the ability to use cannabis in public with others, similar to how alcohol is consumed in public, has been such an incredible hurdle for the state.
It really has. I think the cigarette smoking laws that we passed, which are very strict and probably had, good reason to have them, to have those in place for cannabis is probably not the same thing.
And you also have some news for us, some big news for the cannabis industry across the country related to an announcement by MasterCard. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, the Colorado's marijuana industry sustained another blow last week. reports emerged that MasterCard was banning debit card transactions for marijuana. I went to a dispensary and asked, and they said, sure enough, that's the case. Most marijuana dispensaries still largely operate in cash because of the plant's federal prohibition, but a growing portion of retailers here are able to accept debit cards through third-party processors and cashless ATMs. But on July 26, MasterCard confirmed a Bloomberg report that the card company was issuing cease and desist orders to banks and payment vendors demanding that they stop processing any marijuana-related transactions. We'll have to continue to watch this, but we will watch and see whether any other card companies step up like MasterCard did and do this particular thing. That's a real tough blow to an industry that's kind of reeling right now anyway.
And it will be interesting to see if other card companies follow suit, but all goes to say that a federal decision or at least comment on this would be helpful. Well, Leland, thank you again for keeping us in the loop with all of this. And you can catch the Cannabis Report the first and third Thursday of every month here on KGNU. Thanks again, Leland.
Thank you.
For KGNU, I'm Hanley Myers.